I am trying so hard to love you. I know how Jesus feels when you try hard to love people and they just act don't act right, you know. But I am glad to be here. Man. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter 6. Told pastor, if anything, I at least brought the church together, you know. So at least you're all together, and I did see some green sprinkled in there. My man back there in the O shirt, I saw him. Went back and thanked him for being a light in the darkness. And so I told pastor, he said, they filled up the little one for you. I said, I'd rather have an overflowing little basket than an empty big one. So thank you for that. But I'm glad to be here, and it's been a good day. I trust you've had a good day, and good to see everyone here. Good to see so many young people on a Sunday night here, and thankful for that. And you guys are getting pictures, aren't you? I'm unfriending all of you tonight. As soon as I get back to the hotel, that'll be unfriend. But Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 25. Matthew 6, verse number 25. You need to watch this all throughout. Something I want to show you that I hope will come out right, something to help make it stick a little bit. But in the teen conference, we did a control sermon one time, and I kept a controller in a bag. I don't know if you remember that. I know you remember my Buckeye sermon because you're paying me back tonight. This is something I want to show you tonight, a little different, hopefully make you think. And that's just how I learn. I'm just a visual learner, and it makes things apply to my life. Whether it does to yours or not, I don't know, but it works for me. But Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 25, if you're there, say, I got it. I don't suppose I should say O-H, and you would, never mind. At some churches I go to, you can do that, and they'll reply back, but not here. Right. Not here at all. Matthew 6, verse number 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on it. Is the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Or are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast in the ovens, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall eat, what we shall drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Actually, I think you guys should think about that tonight. But that's just bad timing on this scripture. But For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I want to call this tonight, that's not yours. That's not yours. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we do love you, and we are grateful for family. Father, we know, Lord, that we are joined together tonight through the blood of Christ. And God, it is so much fun to get together and laugh. And Father, as we come tonight, I pray, Father, you'll help us, Lord, even in this church tonight. There are people with great burdens, people with real worries, people sometimes, God, that just they need more than a song or a verse. They need you. And so, Father, I pray tonight you'll help us to see that you've given us today. And if you're gracious enough, you'll do that again tomorrow. But we're not promised it. So I pray, Father, you'll help us to draw near to you tonight through your word. And it'll be an urgent thing for us to serve you. It'll be an urgent thing for us to surrender to you. It'll be an urgent thing for us to come to you. For we know, God, we don't know what the future holds. Thank you, God, for your word. I pray you'd speak through it in Jesus' name. All God's people said. Well, you got another one, didn't you? You got another day. Another day. Yeah, there it was. He set it there by your little nightstand, right there by your bed. This morning, you got a day. A day, a day. Now, some of you, you didn't want this day in the first place. Some of you, oh, that day, I don't want this day, not this day. Some of you, the day was set there and God presented you with the day and you just kind of ignored the fact that he presented you with the day because you figure I'll get other days. So this day's not that big of a deal because I have more days. That's right, I have more days. And the truth of the matter is, when it comes to this thing of days, we don't really appreciate them until, one, we're low on them, or two, we're out of them, right? Until, one, we're low, if someone was to say, well, you only have how many? How many days? How many? What, you have how many days? I have a good idea for God. I have lots of good ideas for God that he doesn't listen to, but I think this would be good. What I think God should do is he should install a little clock in your head, above your head. It doesn't have to go in it, but above it. And it should be a countdown. On that countdown, it should tell us how much time. How much time. Because if we knew, we could say what needs to be said, do what needs to be done. Oh, we would look maybe at you. Somebody here tonight, you don't have that many bags. You don't have that many sacks. You don't know how many days you have. And if we knew, we would. We'd treat you different, wouldn't we? Maybe we'd extend the hand. Maybe we'd extend the hug. Maybe we'd extend forgiveness. But the time would change the way we treat each other, wouldn't it? The time would change the way we act to each other and react to each other. If we only knew. If we knew how many. How many? How many do I get? And the truth of the matter is, when we come to our days, and the Bible says to teach us to number our days, there's wisdom in numbering our days and understanding that our days are short and our days here on earth, they're passing. You got another day. What'd you do with your day? What'd you do with your day? You got a day. Did you get up and say, I got another one? I got another one. That's not how I get up. It's not at all. It's not how I get up because Emma, my daughter, for some reason, walks in our room 75% of the nights of her life, and she's 7 years old, and when she was really little, like a two, three-year-old girl, she wouldn't say anything. She would just stand in front of me while I slept. And it'd be right here, her face. And my daughter is pretty, but not at 3 a.m. when there's a little kid breathing in front of you like that. I said, Emma, you just got to climb in. You just got to climb in here. Don't sit there and stare at Daddy. Go over there and stare at Mom. But don't do that. It frightens me. I'm scared of you at that time. But she would just sit there and stare. So when I wake up, I usually wake up with an Emma foot in my kidney. There's something usually bothering me. The first person I think of when I get up is me. I'm the first thought I have is me. It's me. But I don't usually attack a day like that. I don't usually say, oh, I get another one. What's this one going to hold? Usually it's, oh, another day. Wait a minute, that's a day. God gave you a day. Did you think God owed you that day? Did he promise you that day? Is he a liar if he doesn't give you another one? Is he God if he don't give you another one? How many days have we had? How many days do we get? I don't know, but I tell you what days are filled with. Days are filled with trouble. Jesus said it. Jesus said, as a matter of fact, don't even worry about the things of tomorrow, because in this bag there'll be enough problems. That's so true, isn't it? Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Jesus said, just use this day that God has given you. Now, in this day, I'm going to talk to the Christians for a minute, then I'm going to go through and talk to those of you who maybe you don't know Christ as your Savior, but all of us can identify with this idea. We understand we're only getting a few days. We're only getting a few days. And for the Christian, when it comes to this day, if maybe we spend our day in worry, because here's what we do. Most of us tonight, if we were honest, we would get this day, but most of us are doing like this. Man, coming up, I got this here, I got down this. Wait, you don't have this, that's not yours. These aren't yours, that's today. And what's crazy about, and the young people know this to be true, what is so messed up about being a young person is, everybody's always come to you with all these days you don't even know you're going to get. What are you going to do with your life? Where are you going to be? 4 years from now, what are you going to do? Hey, what are you going to do? You're like, well, I'm going to, okay, number one, I'm going to eat a sandwich. And number two, I'm leaving you. That's what I'm doing. I'm getting away from you. Because that's what we do with young people, ain't it? Hey, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? And what's great about being a young person, especially a little dude or dudette, that's all they know, isn't it? They could care less about this. They don't have any, they're not worried about that. They're not thinking about, wouldn't you love to go back to that? Wouldn't you just love to, my daughter does cartwheels everywhere. Everywhere. And the people are like, what's up with the kid in the cartwheels? Like, I don't know. She's just enjoying the day. Because I know there will be a day. Maybe not so many cartwheels. Maybe not. It is possible that not only when it comes to worriers not only want what has been forbidden, but also we fail to use what has been given. See, worriers, we worry about these, don't we? Man, Brother Ryan, I tell you, I'm going to try to enjoy this sermon, but I'm telling you, how many bags away is that you're worried about? I mean, how many bags? Because most of my worries aren't in that day. Most of my worries are far down the road. They're bags away, bags that I may never get. They're far down the road. And so when it comes to this thing of being young, listen, guys, that doesn't mean you just kind of, okay, Ryan said I just shouldn't even think about that. You should think about that. You should pray about that. But you should take that one day at a time. One moment at a time, one day. Because here's the truth, young people. If you will give God today, and you will give him tomorrow, and you'll get up the next day and you'll give him that day, and the next day and you'll give him that day, you do 30 of those or so, you'll put together a whole month of giving God your days. You do that for 12 months, you'll do that for a year. You do that for 70 years, you'll do that for a lifetime. What we always ask kids to do is totally unfair, and I do it all the time. I'm a youth pastor. We say, give God your days, give God your lives, all your lives. But can we really give him all that? We can give him today. And if you'll just give him today, guys. If you'll just give him today. But you say, Ryan, I can't focus on the day because I got all this. But you don't know if you have all this. You don't know if you have all this. And so what happens here, what Jesus is talking about, let me encourage those of us who are worriers, because worry's like it's the forgivable sin, isn't it? For the Christian, worry is unnecessary. Why is it unnecessary? Because of our Father. Verse number 26, behold the fowls therefore they sow not, neither they reap, for neither they gather in the barns. Yet your what? Your heavenly Father feedeth them. Worry's unnecessary because of your Father. God doesn't just create life, he sustains life. I said this morning, my kids don't worry about the house payment. They don't. They don't care about the house payment. They've never come in and said, Dad, we all right? Are we good? We're going to make it, right? I mean, you're going to go preach. You're going to help, right? It's going to be okay. You're going to be okay, right? She doesn't. They don't do that. They don't. Why? Because they know they have a Father. They know that they have that. So when it comes to this thing of filling our lives with so much, with worry and agony, it's unnecessary because of who our Father is. He says, the fowls of the air, they don't have jobs. They don't have 401ks and retirements. Yet, what? What is it? It is yet your heavenly Father. Yet, yours. The sovereignty and will of God extends all the way to lifetimes of birds. Not even a sparrow falls from the sky he don't know about. And what are you worried about? Ryan, I think he missed that one. I don't know. I mean, I know he can go. I know he's done it before that. I know he can do it. Listen, he's got you. If you're saved tonight and you're one of his, I can promise you this, worry's unnecessary because of who your Father is. It's not necessary for us to worry. It's not necessary simply because of who our Father is. Kids don't worry about things that they know Dad can handle. Kids don't worry about things like that. Not only is it unnecessary, it's uncharacteristic because of our faith. Because of our faith, yeah, it's verse number 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? It's uncharacteristic because of our faith. Think about it. You believe God has the power to save you and take you to heaven, but you're not sure he can get you through this week. You're not sure he's got the doctor's appointment under control. Or you're not sure he can come up with the money. Or you're not sure your kids will ever come back to God. Or you're not sure and you're worried. And you're forfeiting the gift of today. And if you're not careful, you'll forfeit so many of them, you'll eventually be out. And so this thing of it's worries uncharacteristic because of who our faith is. What happens is when it comes, because I like what one preacher said, worry would better be named spiritual rebellion. That's what worry is. The worrier lashes out at God. The worrier disbelieves Scripture. We disbelieve Scripture. We're mastered by circumstances. And to be honest, what a worrier does is we distrust God, to put it blatantly. You say, Ryan, that's kind of strong. I mean, spiritual rebellion? Come on. I mean, I know we're in Michigan church, but you don't have to be so mean, right? Spiritual rebellion, yeah. You trust him, right? Well, Ryan, you don't know what I have coming up. Well, the truth is, neither do you. And I'll tell you this. I'm glad God doesn't show me all that's coming. I can look at my life right now and think, I'm glad he didn't show me. I would have been out. I'm running. Let me just give that to somebody else. You know that to be true because you adults can tell there are things that you faced in the last year you never dreamed you would face. And if God sees you with this, right, even with Isaac and with Abraham, and you're talking in Genesis and Sunday school, and it's such a cool thing, but there was a time when, you know, Isaac, he's going to ask Abraham for Isaac. But what does he ask him before that? He says, get thee out of thy kindred. Get away from your house, Abram. Get away from your house. Go away from your house. Well, that seems easy compared to give me your son, doesn't it? And so there are many of us here tonight, it is uncharacteristic of our faith. Worry's uncharacteristic of our faith. It disbelieves Scripture and it distrusts God. Can God get you through it? Number three, it's unwise because of our future. Verse number 34, take no thought therefore the morrow. Jesus just said, stop focusing on bags you don't know you have. It's unwise because of our future. Jesus is saying, just deal with the days as they come. That's what you need to do. You just deal with days as they come. Tomorrow always belongs to God, church. Tomorrow always belongs to God. Whenever we try to take hold of it, what we try to do is steal what belongs to Him and Him alone. God has only given us today. That's what God has given us. God has given us today, and if you're not careful, you will pass those on and off to the side, worried about other things that may never come up, that may never happen. It doesn't mean we don't plan for our futures and all that. That's what we do. We're Americans. We plan, we prepare. But you know this to be true. All we really can take care of is the problems of today. I don't know what I will face, but I know this. It's unwise for me to worry because of my future. Jesus told the boys one day, he said, let us go over to the other side. Now, from that side to the other side was a field with a storm. He didn't broadcast that before they got in the boat. But if Jesus says, let's go over to the other side, guess where we're going? We're going to the other side. It doesn't mean we won't get wet. It doesn't mean there won't be a storm, but if Jesus says, I'm going to the other side, I'm going to the other side. Christian, do you know that in the eyes and the mind of God, we are already seated in heavenly places with Him? You know, tonight, it's as if we are already with Him in the mind and the eyes of God. I promise you, you're going to make it. You are. You're going to be in heaven 100 years from now. You've got to change shirts, but you're going to be in heaven 100 years from now. I promise you that. Why is it that we come to the place where we're like, no, I don't know. We're going to be in heaven 100 years from now, and you're worried about Tuesday. Not to make light of Tuesday, because maybe Tuesday's it's going to be a tough bag. But the question is, can God? Can God? Can God? And you go through and you think about this, when it comes to this thing of life, and when it comes to this thing of even our the bags that we get, we don't understand how many we get, we don't know. Some of us, maybe we would... none of us in here are thinking this is the last bag. There's not a one of us in this room that woke up this morning and said, probably my last day here. It's probably it. But the truth of the matter is, church, your age is not based on your birth, it's based on your death. Now, you don't know your death. But God forbid if something should happen to you if you're 15 and something should happen to you when you're 17, you're old if you're 15. You are. Mrs. Grayley at our church is almost 100 years old. Great prayer warrior, great lady. We had apple butter, making apple butter. Mrs. Grayley out there stirring apple butter. Out there. I mean, 100 years, I mean, just a great, great lady. Now, when she was, even when she was 80, people would say she was old. No, no, she's not. She's 100. So she wasn't old then. When you think about it, she had at least 20 more years. And the truth of the matter is we don't really know how old we are, because if you're 20 tonight and God's going to take you home when you're 21, you're an old 20-year-old. That's old. But if you're 40 tonight and you're going to live to be 100, then party on, man, you're young. Right? Everything's going to be good. You're good. I say I'm 30 plus shipping and handling. Right? That's how old I am. That's, and it depends on where you're shipping me. That's how old that I am. But the truth of the matter is we will get so consumed with, we'll get so consumed with this and this and all of these afterwards. And if you're not careful, you'll get so focused on these, you'll miss the gift that's in here. I love the story of Martin Luther. Many years ago, he had a lot of worry and depression. His wife came in the kitchen in what she would call her funeral outfit, dressed to go to a funeral. Martin looked up and said, "Who died?" His wife replied, "Well, my dear Martin, God did. God died." Luther was furious, and he stood up and said, "How dare you say God is dead?" And his wife humbly replied, "How dare you act like it?" If he's alive and if he's really got us, if he's got these days, if our days are numbered, and the truth of the matter is that our times, the psalmist said, our times are in his hand. Every bit of our days are in his hand. He has them numbered. He knows when they're going to end. He's got us. And if you're here tonight and you're a Christian, there's a couple of things, even if you aren't a Christian, there's a couple of things we have to focus on in closing that we can't delay if we don't know how many days we get. Number one, we can't delay salvation. We can't, because many of you are planning to come to God, just not with this bag. You're going to do it. You're going to get back in church. I'm coming, Pastor. You count on me, I'll be there. Is that in this bag? No, it's not in that bag. I mean, come on. It's not today. I'm not coming today. It's over here. Well, that'll be fine. As long as you get that one. Right? You can't delay salvation, so maybe you come to this church tonight and you're thinking, well, I'm just try out the Jesus thing. I'm going to try out the church thing. And one day, one bag, I'm going to turn my life over to God. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give my life to God, and then I'm going to, if that's not today, I mean, how many bags are we going to wait? Husbands, you ought to stand in that living room of yours. And if you're a member of Emmanuel Baptist Church, you ought to stand in that living room at some point in the week, and you just say, that's our church. That's our pastor. The guy on crutches, that's our pastor. That's where we go. That's where we get fed spiritually. That's where we love people. That's where we serve. That's where we pray. That's where we worship. And you stand up in that living room, men, and you say, that's where we're going to be faithful to. And we're going to be there until God calls us away from there. We're going to be the best church members they ever had in the history of church members. That's going to be our home. It's going to be our home. That's where we go to church. They're having revival. We're going to be there. They have a youth ministry, we're going to be there. They need bus drivers, we're going to be there. We're going to work ourselves, because that's our church, that's our home. And why? Because we don't know how many bags we get. We don't know how many more days until we're standing before God and giving Him account for everything we've done. We're going to serve Him, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do that. We can't delay salvation. We can't delay surrender. If we don't know how many bags we get, we can't delay surrendering our lives to God. I'm gonna serve Him one day. One day. It's not today. It's not today. Yep. It's not today, Ryan. But it's going to be. When's it going to be? Well, it's several bags away, I'll tell you that. Well, good luck. I hope you get them. I really do. When I was 16, God called me to preach. You thought I was a mess now. You should hurt me then. It was rough. It was. And people just loved me, and they would invite me into their churches, and I would blow up their churches, and then I would leave. And it was just rough. And I remember going, I was 16, 17 years old, preaching revivals. People had me like three or four nights in a row, and I'm like, I don't really have that much to say over and over again. But I love Jesus and everything, but three sermons, that seems like a lot of study. It really does to be able to do that. And I remember going through and doing that. I'm going to reach the world for Jesus. That's what I'm going to do. And I remember people telling me that I was too young and people coming to me and saying, you need this and this and this and this. And all I knew was I just wanted to serve Him. And there was something in me that thought, man, I don't know how long I'll live. I don't know that. I don't know how many days I get. I don't know how many years I get. And I had all these people, and I said God called me at an early age because He had so much work to do with me. I believe that, and I'm glad He did. But looking back, I didn't know. I didn't know all the things that were coming. I'm thankful, as I said, I'm thankful He didn't tell me all the things that were coming. I don't know about you, but I just want to enjoy today. My response to this ought to be, if I'm not saved, is to understand that today is the day of salvation. This bag is the day of salvation. Today is. I don't have to tell you sad evangelistic stories about people who thought they had more time or people who thought they... We all know stories like that. All of us have been to funerals too early. All of us have been there, and all of us have been touched by someone that it was too early. They got called out too soon. That wasn't fair, but God knew the whole time. We just didn't get to see the clock. We can't delay salvation. If you're here tonight and you're lost, you need to come to Christ tonight. Because He's been gracious to give you the thing you need. You need a day. You know, God's grace, I love that mercy said no. My goodness, couldn't we all say that in our lives? Mercy said no. Mercy and grace has been extended to our lives. If you're here tonight and you're not saved tonight, today's got to be the day of salvation. Why? Because you don't know how many days you get. You say, Ryan, is that a scare tactic? Listen, if I could scare you into heaven, I would. I would do anything I could to get you there. I don't have a problem scaring you into heaven. But I do want you to understand there should be concern because 10 out of 10 people die. How about that for a Buckeye? That's statistics there, right? 10 out of 10 people die. But not you, right? You're going to be the guy that beats that. You're going to be the guy, the exception to that rule. You know this. All of us know this. And let us look at this intently. We're all going to stand before God one day. All of us. And God is gracious enough to give you today. If you're here tonight and you're a Christian, when are you going to do it? When are you going to surrender your life to Him? Some of you high schoolers are saying, when I get to college, don't count on it. Some of you college students are saying, when I get married, oh, let me talk to you. Some of you are saying, when I get married, I'm going to do it today. What's God calling you to do tonight? Those of you members of, I mean, what's God challenge you with? What is it that God's saying, hey, I want you to serve me. Do this. Today. And if we'll get enough people just serving today, you could string a bunch of those days, one days together. And you might look back on your life and see that you gave him a whole lifetime. Now tomorrow morning you're going to get up and you're going to, by God's grace, you're going to receive a new day. Every morning when I take Emma to school, I do the Chicken Little thing. I say, Emma, you know what today is? She says, don't say it, Dad. Don't say it. I say, and every day I say this. I say, Emma, it's a new day. It's a new day. And it drives her nuts. It does. But one day when she's older, she's going to remember that. She is. She's going to remember that. I say it all the time. What I'm trying to get her to see is today has never happened before. It'll never happen again, kid. It's never happened before. It'll never happen again. Listen, guys, today, you got a day. We've all been to funerals right now. My grandma was the greatest Christian I've ever known. She passed away in 2001. I would give a lot of money for one more bag with her. One more. Just one. I don't need a stack of them. Just one. All of us have people like that. Where you'd say, God, give me another. If I knew I had another. You had one. You had one today. And if God is gracious, you'll get one tomorrow. So today is the day we need to surrender. And today is the day we need to give to him. Amen. Jesus says, you know, the other bags are going to have problems of their own. So don't even worry about that. You just worry about focusing on me, and I'll take care of this. Has God been faithful to your life? Has he been faithful, church? I have a prediction. He will continue to be. He will continue to be. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Hey, that's not yours. What's not yours? Tomorrow's not yours. Yeah, you don't own it. You don't have rights to it. You don't even have a promise for it. Tomorrow belongs to God. And I believe this to be true. One preacher says there's a broken heart in every pew. It's probably true. And you're here tonight, you say, Ryan, I am a Christian, I am saved, but man, I got some anxiety and some worry on me right now that I really need God to take care of. Would you hold up your hand and say, pray for me, that's me. God bless you. Hands all over. Look at all of you. We're just a room full of warriors. God bless you. All of us are. But let me tell you something, church. That's not yours. That's not your bag. God gave you today. You're here tonight, you say, Ryan, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Thinking about the Jesus thing, thinking about the cross thing, but I'm not saved yet. Would you be honest with me? I'm not going to call you out. Would you hold up your hand and say, pray for me? I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure. I'm going to challenge you to do something for those who raised your hand. It's just us tonight, just family tonight. You missed another day worrying about a day that may never come. You traded today for something that may never happen. And you know, we take worry and we even use it as an excuse. Well, my mom was a worrier. Her mom was a worrier. It's just what we do. Moms worry. Do they? Who is your father in heaven? Who's your father? Jesus is. Who is that guy in heaven that's, he says, I take care of birds. I watch over birds. One sparrow doesn't fall from the sky that Jesus doesn't mark it down. He knew it. He can handle all your days. And I think revival could really come if we will come to a place where we say, you know what? We get today. That's what we get. We got to make the phone call today. We got to pray the prayer today. We got to extend forgiveness today. We got to say we're sorry today. We got to do this today. And I'm going to pray, and after I pray, Stephen's going to lead us in a song. But all over this place, Emmanuel, I want you to come tonight, and I just want you to bow down to the Lord of all your days. He's Lord of all of them. Even before you were born, he knew every day was coming. He's not shocked. He's not surprised. He's not pacing the floor of heaven. He's not stressed out. He's not worried about elections or politicians. He is large and in charge. Nobody voted him in and nobody's voting him out. He's God Almighty. And he is the one that sent his son to die on the cross for your sin. And I'm going to pray, and after we pray, soon we're going to stand and sing after that. But I want you to come tonight and say, God, I am grateful for today. You gave me a day. Thank you for that. Father, we love you. Lord, thank you so much for today. Lord, if this was our last one, certainly we would have probably wrung it out a little more. Probably would have said a few more I love yous and a few more I'm sorrys. So, Father, I pray your forgiveness, and if your grace is good, and if your grace sees fit to give us another one tomorrow, I pray we will learn that that one will have enough worry of its own, and that we'll trust you through that one too. Forgive us, God, for taking what's not ours. Tomorrow's yours. And we're so grateful we're going to a land where there are no more tomorrows. Just one great day. God, draw this church to you, I pray, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.